Great, great memories there. Brother Billy, come on. I love you. I appreciate you. You come share whatever God's got on your heart with these people. Talk to us of good memories and things that God has done. I appreciate you, my brother. I love you. Thank God for what you've done, what you mean to me, and what you meant to Brother Ike.
Yes, sir. Amen. The goodness of God has been with us this morning. I know you feel the richness of the meeting. And all of you that been, many of you been here at Calvary a lot longer than I have, but it's just an honor to get to be a part, amen? And not only to be a part of this service, but a part of Brother Ike's life. And that's truly a privilege. I always looked at him. Brother Ike, Emily will remember this. Brother Ike was at my ordination service back in 88, I think it was. And he was there then, and he's always been with me, from that point on. We'd have him preach a couple times every year, at least once. And we had Jubilee meetings, three preachers and singers, and it'd be the Saturday night Jubilee would start, you know, where I used to pastor at 6 o'clock or something. We'd run three preachers through there and a lot of singing and have a good time. Brother Ike and Emily and her family, they were always faithful to be there. And so it's just a joy, you know, when you feel like your pastor's part of your family, you know you're at the right place, amen? Now, I understand sometimes that's not possible in bigger churches and things like that, but it's a pleasure when it gets to be that way, amen? Now, I was thinking about Brother Ike this morning, what a few things I might want to say, and I just want to turn you over to one place in the Scripture. I got a few I'd like to read, but I want to hear Brother Chris preach. I really do. I love to hear his brother preach, and God's with him and on him, and we're honored to get to be in service with him this morning. But if you look with me, I told y'all last time I was going, did I leave them over there, Brother Jimmy? My glasses there?
Y'all ain't died. It ain't the first time. Well, I told them last time I preached that I was going to have all that corrected.
And I went to the eye doctor, give you a quick word of information right here. The eye doctor is not in favor, typically, mine's not anyway, what's the name of the surgery I'm trying to, LASIK surgery. Not a fan. Of course, you know, there's monetary reasons why. But putting all that aside, somebody had asked me, had I could do anything since last time? I'm like, nope, not a thing. I did go to the doctor, but I didn't get nothing fixed. But look with me and just see something quickly. In 1 Samuel, we can point this out to you. The 17th chapter, because this makes me think of some things we're going to say right here. Look in verses number 29. David wants to go to the battlefront. He's got a heart for God, and even as a young lad, he's ready to rock for the Lord. He is in the game. And so his eldest brother in 28, when he heard, he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, why camest thou down thither, or hither, and with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride. Now listen, Eliab, he ain't worried about the few sheep. He's worried about David's vigor for the Lord. Vigor, vigor, however you pronounce that. And so here, I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now here we are. This is just prefacing a little bit of what I want you to see. Here is Goliath, who has defied the armies of Israel. If he was in range of each one of them, he'd have spit in their face. Right. That's what they thought of Israel. No respect for Israel. And here's all of these elder brothers of David that are already in the army. David's a young lad. You know the story. He's a young lad, but bless God, he understands something that those men didn't understand. And this is why he asked them, as they're reproaching him for being there and being ambitious for the Lord and courageous for God. They don't know what God's going to do with David. And I think of Brother Ike that way. Brother Ike was young when he was saved. I was saved at 19. Some of you were saved earlier than that. At what age was Brother Ike saved? Somewhere in that same range. And so he understood. Brother Ike understood. He had a call. And he had a cause. God gave him a cause. He let him see the hearts of men. He let him see the compassion that could be showed. And Brother Ike was more interested in all of his athletic ability. I can tell you a funny story right quick if you hadn't heard it. Brother Ike was talking about baseball, and sometime, his high school career, and he said, yeah, he really liked baseball and football. And so y'all know all about that. But he was telling me, he said, yeah, we went to the state championship. And in Pensacola, Tate High School had some pitcher, and he was talking about him. I said, wait a minute. I was pulling out my phone, and I was looking it up. I said, Tate High School in 1963 or 2, whatever it was, I said, brother, you was playing against Don Knotts. wrong Don. And so what's the pitcher pitched so long for the Dodgers? Say it. Don Sutton. I said, you was playing against Don Sutton. He said, yeah, I reckon, I guess that's who it was. He didn't, a 300-game winner in the major leagues, and Brother Ike wasn't worried about all that stuff. He was moving on. God gave him a cause. When he got saved, he set things aside. This is what happens. When Paul got saved, the fight was set aside against the church. He's part of the church. God's put him in the church. And now, not even knowing, he's going to lead the church. God gave him 12, 13 books out of the 27 books of the New Testament. And so here, God has instilled it in Paul. Paul understands he's got a cause. And remember when he met him on the banks of the shore, and he's about to go to Rome to be a prisoner. And so they're transporting him there. And bless God, here he is, and he is awake to what God's doing. And he knows one thing, whatever happens, he'll still be preaching. Why? Because God gave him a cause. When God saved Brother Ike, he gave him a cause. And he gave him a calling. And he gave him inspiration. And he gave him a zeal for the Lord that you can't snuff out. Amen. And so when David came, and they were talking about all of these things and why we can't deal with Goliath. Bless God, when you have ambition and a cause, you can conquer for him. That's what David did, Paul did. And so we see it here. God set him aside and used him, and he was faithful till his dying day. You know, you take that Saturday morning when Brother Ike went home. People say, well, he died. I don't believe that. The body stayed back, and he went on. Amen. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. Paul made it clear. And so this is going to be us. When we're absent from this body, and we watch. I remember a tape Brother John Burks gave me. Brother John, if you didn't like tapes and books, you was talking to the wrong fella, because he's going to ship you something. He said, brother, I got it in the mail. And so tapes, boxes of tapes. Well, one of my favorite tapes Brother John Burks ever sent me. He sent me a tape by a preacher by the name of Rolf Barnard. If you don't know him, you need to look him up. Rolf Barnard, get his audio sermons. Change your life. It'll change your life. And here we see it. When God took Brother Rolf out of seminary and put him in a little Kansas town, and left him there where men were getting sick because of the chemicals and the factories and things of that nature. And brother, he was a pastor of a little one-horse church, if you will. And so here he's discouraged, and he goes home. He goes home with one of the parishioners and her husband, who's unsaved. Brother Rolf said, just 20-something years old, not young, old at all, he said that man knew just enough about the Bible to chew me up one side and spit me out the other. And he said, I went back to the parsonage, and here come a big thunder bumper out in Kansas and said, the devil's telling him, there ain't nobody going to be there tonight. Nobody's going to be there. Nobody's going to be there. This cloud come up, this cloud burst, they call him. And so here he's moping and licking his wounds and getting back into the sanctuary. Not very many came, but the man that had him for lunch, God broke his heart and arrested him. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He arrests mankind. He arrests men and women. That's what God does. That's why Paul, in Acts chapter 9, that's why he's on the dusty dirt road of Damascus. He's not walking on it. He's laying on it. Why? Because he had a confrontation with King Jesus. That was his saving experience. And you know what he said? He didn't say very much out of the way, but he did say this: who is it, Lord? He knew one thing. Bless God, it's the Lord. It's what God done. And so here Brother Rolf comes back to the service that night. And so his tail's dragging behind him because he's been spiritually beat up and discouraged. And here comes the man that he had for lunch. And here this man comes in, and God has, listen, when Brother Rolf got done with him, the Holy Ghost got a hold of him and broke his heart and saved him. He come in that night and told Brother Barnard he needed to be saved. And he talked about a pen that he always wore. And the man that had him for lunch totally demoralized him. God got a hold of his heart, and he wore that pin that the man had gave him on his coat every time he preached to remind him God still arrests hearts and changes lives. Brother Ike believed that. He believed that. He understood. There's a cause. There's a cause. You know, there's a lot of Saturdays we'd talk. He'd call me. Maybe I was mowing or something. I'd cut the mower off. I'd rather hear Brother Ike than the mower. And we'd talk. And he never answered the phone or greeted me but one way. But I'd see his name on the phone. I've told y'all this before. And I'd answer, and he'd say, Brother Billy. I can still hear the way he says it. And, you know, that's the kind of relationship that we need to impart in the lives of young people, young men, young women. You know, God made it clear that the older men teach the younger men. The older women teach the younger women. If we don't pass these traditions on, just like Emily's talking about seeing him in study, most every Saturday night. You know, those are traditions that we have to pass on. We have to emphasize them. We have to share them. If you don't share them, people's not going to get them. But God gave him a call, and God gave him a charge, and God gave him a commission. And when he commissioned him, Brother Ike went about the Father's business. Amen. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I don't know how many pastors you'll ever have in your future, but you'll never have one better than Brother Ike Stevenson. That's the truth of God. Amen. Now, I want to hear Brother Chris preach. Brother Donnie, you come on and introduce him. God love you.